B-Pod Studios.
Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was taking pictures of a landscaper who was using gasoline-powered leaf blowers.
Everyone's angry. By the way, if you are near a TV, turn on the golf channel, because it is the beginning of a major, which means that there is an intro to let you know the rich history and just how sanctimonious they can be. All right, so anyway, these are real calls to the Brookline Police Department who were out in droves.
This one is directly from the town of Brookline. We are not venturing out to another suburb like Marblehead or a place like that.
Marblehead, we're not nice to Rich.
No, it's very strange. But
Brookline, as much as Brookline has embraced us.
Yes.
But Marblehead has turned their backs on us.
I don't understand the.
It's really a celebration of the police.
Well, that, I mean, sure. It's if it does anything, the one thing that was kind of a unexpected great thing that came out of it is that the world gets to see what these people have to deal with on a daily basis,
and therefore what the police have to deal with because they have to show up to this crap.
Right.
Yep. So I mean, I don't know how one town can go, hey, can we come to your show, and then one town are like, F you, you can't have the tapes. But hey, who am I? All right, here we go. Real call to Brookline Police.
Brookline Police, how can I help you?
I thought it's not legal to park your car in against traffic, right? Like a car.
Not here. Here you can do whatever you want. Here you just lay the car out across all lanes of traffic.
You're talking about your commute in every day.
No, in's fine.
Oh, okay.
Home.
Home is the problem.
Yeah, as long as you put a blinker of some sort on,
you're fine.
You skid it into a nice, you just take up eight lanes. Mm-hmm. Why not? I want to do Everyone's Angry in Dorchester where they tow every car.
Right. Brookline Police, how can I help you?
I thought it's not legal to park your car in against traffic, right? Like a car. The cars are parked in the wrong way. Does that make sense? They should. It's a two-way street, and like if I'm going one direction, the car is actually parked facing me, parked against traffic.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm about to spin wildly out of control.
I mean,
I'm supposed to be seeing taillights here, and I'm seeing a couple headlights looking right at me, and I'm about to spin out of control.
I mean, this person must be so OCD.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably just driving them insane.
Yes.
And can you imagine having to indulge that on the other? Because I guarantee you, this is not the only case where someone's OCD tendencies have spilled into the 911 lines.
Wouldn't it be funny if he's like, I'm going to transfer you to a psychiatrist, and they're like, madam, the CVS in Brookline has a medicine for you. It should help with this.
I like that idea. You know, you are a 911 operator, and you have that special button. I'm sorry, ma'am, please hold, and then it goes to somebody on psychiatrist.
And it just gets you on some sort of serotonin-producing chemical that allows you to let these things go, because Rich, that's got
to
be it.
It has to be, because listen to the confusion where this guy is trying to fish out of her what. Okay, is there something illegal going on? Is there something that is causing chaos in the streets?
Yes. So this is, I would imagine it's technically illegal to park that way, right?
Sure. But is it bothering anyone?
But it's not of any of her business, right? So, like, you're absolutely right. She's, instead of going, you know what? I got a problem. I can't live my life like this anymore. She's like, no. This car needs to be, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's the only explanation. Because, and poor lady, I mean, to be that consumed with your own neuroses.
It just happens frequently, and I just...
Okay, and what's that safe? Are they obstructing traffic, or...
No.
Excuse me, I have to touch...
Of course they're not. Of course. They're doing anything that's causing anyone any kind of harm or... No.
Excuse me, sir, if you would, I have to touch the door handle eight times or the world will explode. Just give me that moment.
It's just that I don't like it.
It's just like crash with that beer bottle.
Oh,
one, two, three, pop.
No, it's just like they're parked, like you should be parked in the direction that the car should be going, right? Yeah, that's how I remember a driver's ed.
Okay, that's kind of now just being condescending.
Yeah. She should really just now is the time to submit to your own. Sorry. This isn't my issue. Yeah.
What is she, the play-by-play person for the Miami Heat?
Okay, Eric, relax.
All right.
We'll deal with the car in a minute.
Am I right? Yeah. I seem to remember that when I took driver's ed. Yeah, right. By the way, the way she says that.
Right.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, she should, she should really be dealing with this. With a trained doctor.
You should park in the direction that the car should be going, right?
Right. You realize if this doesn't happen, many people will die. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
And I had another question. When you park your car, you cannot be parking on the sidewalk, right?
Like up on the sidewalk?
No, so you know how sometimes people double park, they do tandem park, and the second car actually obstructs the sidewalk.
I'm not sure what you mean. Here, let me put you. I'm sorry, I have another call. I'll be right back with you. Okay, yeah. In a moment.
Clearly, ma'am, your call is not nearly as important as
yours. There's a man being stabbed in the throat on line two. Can you hold on for a second?
I'll be right back.
That's a far bitchier thing. That's far bitchier. So you're not allowed to park on the sidewalk. Yeah, of course you're not allowed to park on the sidewalk. Like, you're putting it in question form. So you're not allowed to park on the sidewalk. No, lady, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to park on the sidewalk.
Right.
Right.
Just like the guy's like, all right, I'm going to put you on hold.
Lady,
if your 911 call is put on hold,
lady, the world
it's not worth calling 911.
Lady, the world will end if you don't wash your hands 17 times today, correct?
Right.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. If this has bothered her enough to call 911, anything that I'm dealing with is far less than what's going on in that
brain.
Or she's
someone who just looks for things to complain about.
But, Rich, that's still a personal hell. Like,
I think we've learned that most people in this town are in our own personal hell.
I know. but this one especially, because that is such a minute.
But then she adds more to it.
Well, I mean, with this question, you're not allowed to park on the sidewalk. No, lady.
So it said even you two would understand that it's the correct way to park.
Right. People have heard that interview and been like, I didn't get what he did. Okay.
Hi, sorry about that. Okay, so yeah, so I'm just trying to understand what you mean. So a car is double parked, blocking the street?
No. Okay, so so we have cars parked in the wrong direction, right? I'm just wondering if you guys even monitor that street.
Yeah, we do. We monitor every street, yep.
Yeah, it's
So I've got, she's like, all right, so what's this about the sidewalk? Yeah, so we got cars going in the wrong direction.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the street I'm selling heroin on.
Can you put in that? Yeah. That's right, that's the one, obviously. No police presence.
I'm selling heroin everywhere because if they're going to be knocking on doors, having people move cars, the heroin trade is booming.
I mean, I just see a lot of cars that are just parked in the wrong direction, and then I was just curious what the laws are. That's all.
Yes, we can send an officer over there.
Again, what is your curiosity? Like, you're calling 911 because you're curious about something?
Google.
Like, we just got rid of our encyclopedias, so I was wondering, can penguins live in warm climates? I'm curious about something.
Right.
Yeah, the old curiosity bug has got me.
When you park your car,
they call me the cat because I'm curious as a cat.
Check it out, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh God, I mean, we'll check it out. Sure, it's gonna be.
Well, that's a good one because you don't really have to send the cops.
Sure,
that's one that you just like you ignore. Because you got to go to the Star Market, I think, if beeping lady's there.
Okay, so we have cars parked in the wrong direction, right?
So you got to understand, these people call so much that like the Brookline people were like, "Do you want us to bring some of the callers?" And we're like, "No,
I'm not at all. I don't think I'd want any."
Aren't there rules about profanity? And all right, we continue.
Brookline Police, that's on a 3-quarter. How can I help you?
Do you know on the side of Star Market there are several people that are idling around?
Oh, here we go.
Star Market lady is back.
Yeah.
She's back, and she never left.
Well, in all seriousness, you could go there today and find new Star Market.
Listen, she seems to be fairly prolific.
Didn't they tell you she calls like every day?
They didn't tell me that, but I mean, I'm assuming that she. I mean, I know she calls a lot because obviously I see this. Yes.
Well, it's strange. This is if you've never heard this segment, or maybe you don't remember. I actually know who this. I don't know the woman. But I've experienced the woman in person.
Unless it's just kind of like...
No, it's her.
Okay.
I lived right there.
There's not like a baton passing, you know, when maybe there's...
There might be in the future.
It's like the way Kiss says that when they die, somebody else can be Kiss and they can still make money.
You're saying she's the Tommy Thayer of the people who complain?
Right. Someone's in the cat makeup right now.
No, I'm fairly certain that this woman has yelled at me.
Brookline Police, that's on a 3-quarter. How can I help you?
Side of Star Market, there are several people that are idling right now. So why don't you send your officers here since they pose a health and safety risk? Maybe you can call the sports station. I'm sorry?
Oh! What's the make and-
She's a fan! Oh!
She's aware! Oh, man! We have finally reached it. We have touched the sun. She's aware of who we are. Wow!
I wonder how many times she's complained to the station.
Is there a number? Is there a complaint number that she can call? I'd like to get those voicemails.
Maybe that's why the ratings are so high.
Because she never turns us off.
Dan makes a good point. I wonder if she'll call Max and Max will...
Oh, that
Max
is
actually
great.
Max actually carries Rick's business cards around.
Oh, that's great. Maybe you can call the sports station. Oh.
This one I'm going to say is a little odd because, like, why would the police know the cars are idling? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, she's pissed about the cops not being on the scene. Mm-hmm. Like, but, like, how would they know to be there if the cars are idling? Gentlemen, I'm saying this one doesn't make no sense.
My favorite is how just respectful she always is to the dispatchers as well.
Well, I mean, after a certain... You get familiar enough with someone, you can drop the pleasantries and just get down to business.
Right. They are like brothers and sisters at this point.
I mean, she probably talks to these people more than she talks to... Well...
Anyone?
I wonder if there is an occupied apartment next to hers. Or if there's just like an apartment that has been empty for... like 20 years.
I mean, people come and look at the apartment. The realtor's trying to.
Because she's
rent
out that window.
I know.
She's yelling out that window.
Look
like there's
in
there. No
they
tomorrow.
Love the bathroom. They love the bedroom. You know, it's a nice, whatever it is, 850 square foot, one bedroom apartment. And you look out that window and you see that woman on the porch and go, nope.
Yeah, there's no porch. But she's a leaner.
What's the make and model of the vehicle?
You come here and do your job. I'm not a police officer who's making... I'm not making $300,000 a year. I'm not making $300,000 a year.
Nor am I. Can I get the make?
I'm making 300 mil, baby.
It's like she goes, nor am I.
I got my work... I got my money-making money, baby.
You come here and do your job is something that always motivates people to do their job. Saying those words like, oh, you know what? You're right. I probably should do a job.
Make and model of the car was too much for her.
$300,000 a year.
Can I get the make and model of the vehicle, please?
Why don't you call into Star Market and have one? Oh,
okay.
One's leaving.
That's not very helpful.
It's not very helpful. Well, you guys haven't been very helpful to us. Star Market has not been very helpful to us. Why don't you call the sports station and have them come report to you? Why don't you come here? That's why you guys get paid. You get paid $300,000 for that reason.
Model of the vehicle.
Okay, so she hangs up.
Oh, she hung up on her.
The calmness, by the way, in her voice is just fantastic. Like, the 911 dispatch is like, all right, it's what's her name again? She's Star Market lady.
No, but I mean...
That was not the end of it.
Brookline Police, the sun is recorded. How can I help you?
Yes, so we have yet another condition here. Here's the Schwann's consumer brand, Frazetta. I have a truck idling here in the condo. They're in spaces 9 and 10 here, idling under our windows here. Do you think that's acceptable?
I'm sorry, what's the name of the truck?
F-I-Z-E-T-T-A. R-E-S-C-E-T-T-A. He's idling right under the windows here. Hey, so that's one of multiple people that have been over in our parking spaces. I've been calling to report customer after customer doing U-turns in our parking spaces. Now we have the Frazetta truck. So what is the town in Brookline going to do about this?
They're exempt from the bylaw.
They're in our parking spaces. You get that? Should I spell it out for you? P-R-I-V-A-T-E. They're idling under our windows here in our private parking spaces. P-R-I-V-A-T-E.
They are exempt.
Why don't you give a call? They're in our private parking spaces.
From the bylaw?
No, they're not.
Yes, they
according,
are.
I called.
There
see, I do my due diligence.
Truck.
You guys don't do your due diligence.
There
I do my due diligence.
They're
not supposed to be idling here. There
they
is a.
There,
we exercise the clean energy law. Get to know your laws. That you work
bylaw.
For the Brookline Police Department. Get
they
to know the laws.
The
get
bylaws.
To know the laws in the town of Brookline
they
and call our trustees
from
here.
The bylaw.
No, they're not. They're
yes,
on
they
private
are.
Property idling here.
They are exempt from the bylaw.
You're exempt.
Oh! Oh, you are.
Drop that microphone.
Boom! Sweep the leg, 911 dispatcher.
No, I think the caller won. You're exempt from the law.
I mean, how many times? They're exempt from the bylaw. They're exempt from the bylaw. They're exempt from the bylaw. And then she gets so frustrated, she gives you a...
You're exempt.
Just hangs it up.
Oh. You're exempt, lady.
Oh, that
we're
felt
all
good.
Exempt. The whole courtroom is exempt.
That is the end of Rocky IV right there, man. Just she would not back down, kept yelling. It's like, they're exempt from the bylaw. And that there's got to be nothing that feels better, too, than to know that you have a massive hole in this woman's argument. Sorry, what they're doing is legal. You're exempt from the bylaw.
You're exempt, huh?
You're the one that's exempt.
No, you are.
No, you're the one that's exempt.
You're the one that is exempt.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you can call the sports station.
Yeah, maybe they could.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go. If you ever want a testament, by the way, if you were struggling with a heroin addiction and you wonder, want to look at someone who you go, that guy quit heroin, and Brent Gurewitz from Bad Religion. He's a honk.
Is he?
And he was a terrible heroin addict.
Is he the guitarist?
Player. He's a bass player.
Oh, the big, tall, gumpy bass player.
He's not Gump. That dude's a handsome devil.
Well, Gumpy as far as he's just like awkwardly tall as he lumbers around stage.
See, I look at it as he's like a tall drink of water, but I mean, if you want to undercut me. But then there's guys like that's in the band like Henson,
yeah.
who just recently quit drugs.
right. He's still kind of chewing on nothing.
Yeah, like Henson looks like the guy from Six Flags.
Oh yeah, he does look like that. Yeah, he kind of looks like the old dude from Six Flags. That band is, despite all of that, they're still one of the tightest bands I've seen live. Like, I mean, they on a dime. Like, it's like the perfect sounding, just like the album bands when you see them live.
Yeah, and he's the guy from Epitaph who's made himself quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us in studio this morning. We offered him the chance that he didn't have to come in studio, but he said, I'll come in. So we said, absolutely. And lest you think that we're pulling information out of him, as the New England situation... As the New England situation with coaching remains a mystery, much to the consternation of even the local press, who at many times has been very supportive, they can't figure out why And Rich, you have a clip here to kick things off.
I want you, Bert, to comment on this and tell us what you know, if anything, about what Greg Bedard said. He had written an article.
Okay.
And then last night he was on NBC Sports Boston, and he spoke of something he has heard. And this all stems after the press conferences that Matt Patricia and Joe Judge had that left a lot of people kind of, you know, scratching their heads.
With more questions than answers.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So here's Greg Bedard talking about the situation.
This is a completely new regime on the offense.
It was super cool, snazzy music in the background.
Okay.
Just so you know, we're having a conversation.
You gotta jazz it up.
We're rapping.
This is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that because it's extremely early in terms of what they've done. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level of concern about what's going on with the Patriots.
And he's even added that he has heard that there are some players who seem to be confused by everything that's going on.
And excuse me as I instinctually grab a sock.
For the music.
The music that was out in the background.
That's right. It seems like someone's tennis partner is about to not show up.
Which, oddly enough, does not normally... that's just kind of like what popular culture would make you think was playing in the background of a porn movie. They really... It's really not like that, but... because, I mean, if you're like me, you've ventured into the 60s and 70s when they were shooting on film.
All right, so what have you heard about the reaction to a very confusing duo of press conferences that we saw from
or
Matt
not
Patricia
just press conferences,
Judge.
Just this early, well, you know, the team, the guys are around, what just the early reaction to what how this is being handled.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of skepticism out there, and you know, the more people you talk to, the more it's, well, it's Bill, so you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. 22 years in New England, like the track record he's got, like maybe this is something new, something innovative, something different that we haven't seen before. But there is a fair amount of doubt out there. And
within the organization?
I think that there is some inside the organization.
Wow.
Yes. Like,
wow.
I don't think that that's limited to outside the organization. Yeah. I think there's some doubt inside the organization. Oof. On how all this is going to work. And I think the main concern that I've heard from people that I've talked to about the way this is set up is for the quarterback and what this means for Mac Jones's development and what a critical point that he's at. And I think the way you have to look at this, okay, if you're going to build upon what Mac did in year one, you have to look at who built it and who like put in place the structure that got him to play the way that he played last year. Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas. Mick Lombardi in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Bo Hardigree in Las Vegas. Carmen Bursillo in Las Vegas. These are the guys that were putting together the offense last year, okay?
Yeah.
And so if you look at it, like there's maybe five guys that were really responsible for putting together the offense last year. Four of them are in Las Vegas. The one that's left behind is Nick Caley. And I think the question is Nick Caley being empowered down there? And it doesn't really sound like it.
All right, so is there any kind of effort that these new guys have made to, at this point, reach out like to Mac Jones? Are any of them spending extra time with him?
Mac's here.
I know that, but I mean, are they...
They're practicing.
But I know, but from what you're hearing about it, it's more than that. It's more than just the time that they're here for mandatory camp. I mean, if you're building this relationship, you're going to have to put in the extra work.
Well, and I just think, like, so... Here's the thing. Like, what I'm trying to say is, like, with all of those guys that built the thing up, how are you supposed to build on what you did last year if the guys who put it together are gone, right? Or are you starting back from zero? Like, a lot of people have talked about the situation Justin Fields is in Chicago, and that's
Baker
not
Baker Mayfield was right, another one who complained.
And it's like when you get – and look, the worst situation to be in as a young quarterback is you go through year one and your head coach gets fired and the staff gets cleaned out – and now you're starting all over again, right? Like, that's an objectively bad situation almost always. Now, there are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jared Goff, like, clear upgrade going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, right?
Yeah.
Like, year one to year two. But in most cases, it's not a great thing to have to go through that as a young quarterback. Mac Jones isn't going through that, but it's pretty close. Like,
yeah.
You look at the amount of, like, infrastructure that he lost and the fact that Bill spent a lot of time on defense last year and maybe doesn't have the intimate knowledge of how the offense was put together for Mac Jones last year. And now the question becomes, are you starting from zero? Because so much of what you're doing is getting Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in a position where
right.
they're prepared to build and call the offense.
Okay, so herein lies the question that maybe we've talked about before, but it is still very interesting, and they just did speak, is that, all right, it's unavoidable. You lose this staff. There's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. The staff left. It's gone. I mean, they went to greener pastures, they believe. So now it's up to you to rebuild your offensive staff. Now, from the outside looking in, it looks very odd. Do you have any knowledge, and even if you don't have knowledge, do you have any working theory as to why Joe Judge and Matt Patricia would be put in these positions?
I think a lot of it has to do with Bill's desire to build continuity back onto the coaching staff, back into the front office after everything that he's lost over the last 5 years. And you have to look at, like, the totality of it, right? And how they've had a revolving door with their defensive coordinators. They lost Patricia. They lost Flores. They've spent time in trying to build those guys, build Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo into those roles. They've lost Josh McDaniels now. The scouting department's been almost completely cleaned out, right? Like, if you looked at the flow chart from, like, 4 years ago, everyone's gone.
Right.
And so I think Bill at 70 years old, right or wrong, I think part of it for him is, like, well, how am I going to, like, build something back up that's going to have some level of continuity? And I think that's a huge reason why Matt Groh is the director of player personnel and not Elliot Wolf. I think Elliot Wolf did not get promoted into that number one role. And remember,
Because he'll leave.
Okay. And because he interviewed for the Bears job, for the Vikings job. And if you look at, like, Wolf's background, right, versus Groh's background, Groh was an area scout 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Wolf was second in command in Cleveland, second in command in Green Bay, and second in command here last year. So he's been the number two in three different places. And a guy who was an area scout 3 years ago got promoted into that role over him. Bill O'Brien, I think a big reason why Bill O'Brien isn't back here is because Bill, right or wrong, part of his thought process is, if I bring him back here, he's going to hit it out of the park with Mac Jones and be gone in a year. And I don't want to have to do this again. I think a reason why Nick Caley is sort of stagnant there, and mm-hmm. I think he'll get a little more responsibility, is because Bill had to block him from going to Vegas in January. And now, what's Nick Caley's contract situation? Could Nick Caley leave after the year?
You made the best point, and that is that look at the Rams. Like, the Rams have guys in and out all the time.
And that is the best example of it.
Yeah.
So this, what it sounds like to me, is a team like the Rams is looking for young, innovative talent that they promote.
Right.
And that Bill is taking guys that maybe because of the lack of success they've had at other places, he knows they can stick around.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's taking lesser coaches for the sake of them staying.
And here's a great
continuity
example.
Is what it's called.
So
that doesn't sound like the way you do business. Like, if I'm investing in a company and they're like, we took a bunch of other schlubs that just got fired.
But as Bert said, sorry, Bert, to interrupt, he said, you know, Bill's a much older head coach. He does things differently than anyone else. You think Bill, if he acted this way as a young head coach, would be successful?
No.
I think ultimately he's an older head coach who's too old to, you know, take 5 years to step back and build back and promote young guys. And that's why McVay, who is how old?
36.
He's 36. He wants to work with younger, innovative guys. Bill doesn't want that.
So, but here's the thing, too. Like, right? Like, so they bring in Brandon Staley. And, like, Sean McVay knew when he hired Brandon Staley, mm-hmm. like, who was the outside linebackers coach in Denver, he probably didn't think he'd lose him after a year.
Yeah.
But, like, the reason Sean hired Brandon Staley was because Brandon came, recommended, and then blew him away in the interview.
Yeah.
And you know, like, if you're Sean McVay and you're sitting there and you interview him and he blows you away, like, aren't you immediately going to think, like,
oh, crap.
Like, in a year or two, if this guy's in front of an owner, he's going to do the same thing to that owner and become a head coach somewhere, right? Like,
yeah.
Sean didn't care about that.
Right. Yeah. But, and why not take the guy's ideas and learn from the guy?
Well, also, like, it sounds like if you are an employee of the Patriots and you get skipped over, like, what would make you want to stay even longer?
Because well,
that's the thing is that even the guys you have, you're not going to retain them because you're pissing them off.
Here's the thing is, Sean McVay had Brandon Staley for 1 year. Brandon Staley turned them into the number one defense in the NFL and left. Do you think it was worth it?
Yes. Absolutely it was.
And now you got to go replace him. You replace him with Raheem Morris. What happens? You win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have to break very quickly. But so the team has been around this new coaching staff, and what you're saying is just, I don't know, but there are... There is talk of players.
What were you saying? The flight risk? What?
Well, I just I just think that those two words, flight risk, a guy being a flight risk is a reason not to promote him or not to bring him in, is really horrible logic.
Yeah,
I agree. But just real quick, from your knowledge and things you might be hearing, players, from what they've seen so far. You've heard a rumbling, maybe, because that's what Bedard was saying. Maybe
they're not happy with the situation.
Like the way this looks right now.
Which
sounds eerily like the Lions.
I mean, I think that I think some questions have been raised. Yeah, and I think there were never any questions with Josh. Never.
Yeah.
Like, and I think. Look, we can look at this whatever way you want, but if you didn't want to bring Bill O'Brien back here because he's a flight risk, because if you didn't want to promote Nick Cayley because he's a flight risk, it's sort of on you then for not having somebody in the pipeline, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to rely so much on the pipeline,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be like, we can't bring in anybody else from the outside, and we've got to cast a really narrow net because there's one way that we do things and we can't teach anybody else the way to do this and it has to come from our family, well, then wouldn't it sort of be on you also? Because if the pipeline didn't produce somebody...
Yeah.
Who's like the next guy? Because for years and years and years, that pipeline was pumping out these guys, right?
Right.
Like, there's a time when Joe Judge and Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels and Brian Flores weren't like coordinator. Like, they had to be produced through that pipeline.
Right.
So that's the other part of it, is that there isn't another young guy coming through the pipeline that they want to promote. And I think Cayley could be that guy. But again, is it... Like, well, I'm just concerned that if we promote Nick into that role, that he's going to be gone in January. I think that that's part of the equation, and I think it's wrong.
Okay, we will be back with Bert Breer as interesting times over there in Foxborough. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
No. We get kicked
no.
in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, while we have Bird here, we're going to go a little off page. We'll talk about the Celtics, obviously, in a minute. But it was a blowout. What do you want from us? All right, but here you go. So
this was a moment that was just fantastic because I didn't expect this coming out of several of the people who were involved in all of it.
Fantastic beyond belief.
Yes. I mean, yeah. So Nick Saban was at a... was this like a thing where he's talking to the season ticket holders?
What was the event?
Because he's on a stage and he was speaking to a crowd.
Was it donors?
That might have been it. It might have been donors.
Every... stereotypical Southern idiot.
Sure.
Sitting in there going, where's Coach?
So Nick Saban's on stage.
Coach Saban.
Coach. And I guess he's pissed that Jimbo Fisher stole some of his recruits out from underneath him in this past offseason.
So what happened real quick is Texas A&M had the audacity to get the number one recruiting class.
Yeah. So which obviously pissed off Saban something fierce. Saban goes up there and says that Jimbo Fisher, who we know obviously knows Nick Saban
and a
lot of his secrets, knows him very well, and said that Jimbo Fisher basically paid these guys in order to come to Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And what was great was that immediately the next morning, there was this press release that said, in 10 minutes, Jimbo Fisher is going to come out and going to address all of this.
That is a man who did not sleep the night before.
Oh, no. No, he did not.
It was bourbon and Payson.
So here
find
is,
me a podium.
So, and in all the ways he had to get talked down for just saying like anything that came into his mind.
So here is Jimbo Fisher. I'm going to let this roll. It's about a minute long, but it's a quality
a glorious minute.
Here is Jimbo Fisher addressing the claims that Nick Saban had the day before.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families. And Texas A&M, because we do things right, we're always going to do things right. It's despicable that we got to sit at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know.
He thinks he's God. All right.
Well,
he may find out some things you don't want to know. I want to know.
Well, guys, in fairness, I mean, just the pull of Texas Agricultural and Mining University.
I've been to College Station. There's not a lot there.
No.
I
mean, that's a natural. I mean, that has the pull of a University of Michigan. I mean, just being around it in the academia. I mean, it really is. It's like a Notre Dame.
Stadium's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
The best is that also Saban ended up calling out Deion Sanders, saying that they paid that recruit to go to Jackson State.
Deion did not like that.
Yeah, Deion's like, no, that never happened.
Even though you got a 5-star recruit to go to Jackson State. Okay. Sure.
The dumbest 5-star recruit in the history of 5-star recruits. Because what's going to be the knock on the kid? If he indeed can get coached to any level at that university,
would
the knock on the kid's going to be he didn't play against anybody?
There are very few kids who should like automatically think about the NFL when they're choosing a college. If you're that level of recruit, you're
a 5-star recruit.
Should.
Yes, you're supposed to go to the NFL.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
right.
And so he just undercut himself for whatever the $1 million he got right away. So he's going to cost himself tens of millions of dollars in 3 years.
Right.
And by
the
way,
well done. You could have just taken 100 to go to Alabama.
And Fred, I know it's been a while, but just as a big market tease, probably sometime within the next hour, we had to check in what our friends who are calling the Paul Feinbaum show had to say about all of this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we have some Feinbaum.
What time is that going to be?
Sometime either at the end of the 8:00 or the beginning of the 9:00 hour. Because we got obviously a bunch of Celtics to talk about. We got John Corrales, you know, who's going to talk about it as well.
Oh, Feinbaum must have been on fire.
It was on fire. Put it this way. Yesterday, I was watching the show, and I turned it on, and literally the first thing I see is a screen that says, on the phone, and it says, Bubba.
Which is just...
Well, let's get some popcorn.
That's always... But it's burned into the screen.
Right. They can't
Yeah, they can't get rid of the... It's burned itself
it's
into
like Bubba
the,
from Tuscaloosa
Bubba
on line
Chiron,
one.
Yeah.
Bubba from Biloxi on line two.
Yeah. And all of them doctorates from those universities.
I think the most underrated part of yesterday, though, was normally if you'd get a coach to like go off like that,
yeah,
it might be like a bunch of people staking out like outside the office
on his way to work.
And it was
a press conference.
Right. Like, so like normally it'd be like oh, there are a bunch of like local TV people sitting in front of the football building at 7 a.m. waiting for Jimbo to walk through the doors. And then they catch him coming through and he goes nuts. No, no, no. That's not what this was. He called a press conference, had time to think about it, and still went off.
And also what's great is that if you watch, because I watched like the first like 5 minutes in its entirety, and which really wasn't horribly long, but there was one guy who almost seemed like he was trying to save Jimbo Fisher from himself.
Yeah. That's
he like
what I
kept
was
almost
saying.
Like cutting him off.
That's what I was
and
saying.
Jimbo was like, no, I got more.
How many times over the course of that evening do you think people had to talk him down from putting something on the internet for doing something
but, or like being so specific? But Bert, you make the best point of everyone is that if anyone, Jimbo Fisher knows exactly where Nick Saban's bodies are buried.
That's the thing about Saban is he's so calculated. Like, and I understand, like, he can be sore when he loses. And there is, I mean, like, there is this quality to Nick that's like, when things don't go his way, maybe he doesn't handle it the best.
He's like a baby.
But he's also like the most, he's just like Belichick. He's the most calculated person.
But here's the thing.
And like, that's the person. But why are you calling out a guy who knows where the bodies are?
Because, Bert, it is my right to have the number one recruiting class every year. We get the number one recruiting class every year. And now all of a sudden, Texas Agricultural and Mining has the number one recruiting class. I know they're cheating. He knows they're cheating to do that. So that there you go.
Let's go to line one real quick.
All right. Bubba. Hello, Bubba.
Wait, what do you guys got against guys named Bubba? You know, calling the radio show, sure. Right? Listen, all right, and some of us Bubbas have all of our teeth, baby.
Well, listen, you guys have made Paul Feinbaum a great deal of money.
Always good hearing from you, Bubba.
By the way, Texas A&M at Alabama in October.
October 8th.
Yeah, it's going to be.
I mean, you know what's funny is like the SEC commissioner comes out and like slaps both these guys down. This is fantastic for the SEC.
Of course it is.
We're talking about a game 5 months out. Like, this is great.
Put it this way. I wouldn't normally watch that game. I'm going to watch that game.
All right, that'll be a Saturday night at 8 p.m. Yeah.
So I was trying to come up with the NFL equivalent yesterday, and I used like a Spygate reference, but somebody sent me back like the perfect analogy. This would be like if Bill Belichick called out Josh McDaniels for tampering with Devontae Adams. And then Josh immediately called a press conference and says, why don't you dig around in his trash?
Oh, yeah. That's
Listen, the problem
I mean, I can't even envision it happening in the NFL, you know? Like, that's what's so great about the SEC.
I could. You get a crazy enough coach. I'll tell you, is that, it does raise the possibility that these players are paid, we don't need that.
I think this is... But don't you think this is like uniquely an SEC story?
Yeah, because it's a bunch of Hicks paying a bunch of Hicks to go to the crap schools.
It probably wouldn't happen anywhere else.
No. I don't see it happening anywhere else. I don't. There's a lot of pressure on these gentlemen to get people to go to Texas Agricultural and Mine. All right. Thank you, Bert. You can read them in the MMQB. We'll be right back. We'll talk Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.